This is the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we journey around the world talking with fellow human design enthusiasts, specifically reflectors, as we experiment and navigate our unique designs. Today's beautiful conversation is with Megan, a 1-3 reflector with the right angle cross of the four waves. Megs is a holistic health coach with experience in mental health, the mental health space, and a passion for guiding heart-led humans on their journey towards inner harmony, self-transformation, and working towards thriving in all areas of life. Ooh. Megs works with techniques such as internal family systems and plant medicines, but we're going to get into that. Welcome, beautiful soul.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
As we do, we just dive straight in and talk about you and how you found human design, or human design found you. Would you like to share?
Sure. So I think I came across it maybe online, maybe in 2017, having a one in my profile. I wanted to dive deep, but I just couldn't find anything about reflectors that I was satisfied with. So I just parked it and left it there. And then I think I heard a podcast with maybe Jenna Zoe in 2019. So I kind of did a bit more reading on that. And once I started reading about being a reflector, it just made so much sense to me. Like I just kind of felt this like an exhale, like, oh, that's why I am the way I am. Like, because we're not like everybody else. So that was really cool. And I know I've heard a lot of people say that they were kind of annoyed or whatever, because, you know, we're so conditioned to live like a generator or like, you know, a lot of the rest of the types. But I just felt like, I don't know, like it allowed me to start opening up this, like a self-forgiveness thing. It's like, it's okay if you get tired. It's okay if you don't want to keep up with everyone else. And I guess that was a big piece of my puzzle in my own journey and starting to come back to myself and just who I truly am. So that was when I discovered it. I then had a reading in December 2020. Which again, I found interesting, but it was done by a generator. I felt like she didn't really know that much about reflectors, and it just felt a bit kind of a general read. And I was like, oh, that again, that's interesting, but wanted to know more. When I just like did a bit reading, more reading around like my profile, the 1-3, like that really made a lot of sense to me as well. And just like the deep dives that I want to go on with everything and go down these rabbit holes. And then also just the nature of like, well, us wanting to sample things too. So I've noticed that I've, with my deep dives on things, some people, and I don't really have these people in my life so much anymore, but I felt like there was a lot of eye rolling going on, like, oh, what train is she on this time? You know, going and getting obsessed with the next thing. But, you know, like that's just kind of my nature. And like I do have people around me that celebrate that now, which is really nice. But I
that
feel
is
like
so
like,
true.
Yeah, it's like this every layer that gets peeled back, it's like I become more and more, yeah, like it's like you're deconditioning.
I love what you're saying there. It's like that big exhale of acceptance for self. I can really relate to that. And I think a lot of us can, even though we meet these resistances and go, oh my gosh, like why? But then it's also what you were saying, self-forgiveness of just going, oh, it makes a bit more sense now. I am this way, not because there's something wrong with me. I was just designed this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Fascinating.
And also just being okay, like not apologizing for these things.
Yeah.
Like saying, I'm sorry, I'm tired, I can't come, or yeah, I've just decided that, you know, I want to leave early or whatever. Just being okay with that. And if other, and just knowing that if other people have an issue with it or they judge you for it, that's their stuff. And you just need to kind of not take that on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you had the readings, or when you were starting to experiment in that, like dip in and out of it as you did, and the reading, they probably would have said that to you, hey, your strategy is to wait a lunar cycle. Mm. How did that land with you?
I still struggle with that. Like I try to live by it, but because I have waited lunar cycles for things, I've waited several lunar cycles for certain decisions. And after 5 or 6 lunar cycles, I'm like, okay, it's still playing in my mind. I'll go with it. And I think this is for me. And then after maybe 12 lunar cycles, I'm like, it's not for me anymore. And that I struggle with. It's like I can never quite gauge where I'm at. But again, that comes back to that self-forgiveness piece, like being okay that giving myself permission that it's okay to change my mind. And it's okay if that was absolutely for me 12 months ago, but right now it's not. And also that dance, I guess, between, you know, other people, it's like they think you are this person, but then we can change. And they're very uncomfortable with that sometimes, that because they had a box for you and you fit very neatly in that box and now suddenly you don't. And it can be quite, I don't know, a bit destabilizing, and they can get upset with you, or they're like, but you said this, or you wanted to do this, and now you're on this train. And it's like, well, yeah, I am. But it's like, yeah, quite a dance, I feel, sometimes.
I love that. I love a lot of reframes, you know, because we can, it's like, I love that. It's a dance. It's just like, well, I'm going to do the cha-cha today, and tomorrow I'm going to do the waltz.
Yeah.
Maybe some ecstatic dance next week.
Yeah.
You were just saying there, and it is a really common theme for us, where people, our friends, our family even, can see us as different people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a conversation I had with Jeremy, and he was saying that all his friends know a different version of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a bit tricky to kind of have them all together, because they're like, yeah, but she does this or he does this. How was that for you growing up? Can you take us back to...
Yeah, that was an interesting one. Having like learned so much more about human design, I definitely have learned so much listening to your podcast and just hearing from other reflectors and going, oh yeah, I so resonate with that. Like, that's been really helpful for me. But I've heard quite a few of your guests say that they grew up in potentially like households that had a lot of generational trauma or some toxic stuff, and we are there reflecting all of that back. And so we get cast as like the naughty child. And that was definitely my experience growing up. And like, yeah, like just there was this, I had this persona as like, you know, the black sheep of the family. And then also my mum used to roll her eyes a lot at me because I wanted to try every single sport, like you name it. Like I was 8, I think. And I said, I want to play golf. And she's like, golf. And I'm like, yeah. And I think I played it for 2 weeks. I'm like, yeah, I'm done with this. And it was like the next thing. And she's just like, you never stick to anything. But then learning about other reflectors and going, oh, they did that too. Like it's like, is there something wrong with me because I'm not wanting to stick to something? Should I be putting myself in a box and just not quite understanding, but then going, oh, no, this is what we're here to do. We're here to sample.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, we can say this now on this other side of it, now that we're understanding it, we're like, oh, that's just who I am. But us, our little inner children, were probably shamed for a lot of that, you know, which
100%.
Most of us were. It's like, why can't you stick with something? Why have you got to change your mind? It's just like, because.
Yeah.
And the shame, I think, on us to feel that way. Hey, I'm just going, why can't I stick with something?
Yeah.
And that meets this forgiveness piece, I think. I always say human design is a gift that keeps on giving, because
100%. Yeah, totally.
I want to just take you back about that lunar cycle and waiting and waiting. And now that you've kind of, because I know it's like, it's a script really, reflectors are to wait a lunar cycle. But I find it's interesting to talk to people of just, you know, taking that big inhale and having a pause and feeling how things can change through us. Have you experimented with that, of just going, okay, here's something that I want to do. I know I'm probably going to change my mind, or I'm going to get bored with it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see how long it takes before what I call the rose color glasses come off.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had a bit of a play yet of that and just felt it go through you? Where
yeah,
you're just like, yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like with a lot of the deconditioning that I've done, I've been able to come back to myself. And there's some things that people write about reflectors that I don't, it hasn't necessarily been my experience, but that I like, and I totally don't agree with this, but that whole concept of like, we don't produce any of our own energy, like, or that, you know, I've even heard people say we don't have a personality of our own, like it's just us sampling from everyone. But I think we still have a body, and even though we're all open, our bodies still hold like ancient wisdom, and we can feel into that. And like, for me, it's like my decisions are often based on, and I can't necessarily explain it, but it's just like a knowing. And the more I've returned to that, the easier it's got for me to just feel into things. And even when I've said I'm going to wait a lunar cycle, I'm going to wait longer than a lunar cycle. Generally speaking, I do know the answer, but I'm just like, I'm just going to sit with this just in case I feel differently in a month. And, it is cool. I like sometimes diarizing them. Okay, I feel this way today about this, but I want to see how I feel in 28 days. And then I'll just like revisit it and go, yeah, I want to keep going with that, or no, I'm good with that. Yeah, I feel like that's also been a process in that feeling back into my own intuition and just into my body about making decisions, and then other people getting bothered with you about that because you've changed your mind, or because like it doesn't feel good for you anymore. And also, I feel, and I've heard this, I don't know where, but that whole what we need to do is be the ruthless curator of our lives, which I completely resonate with, but I feel like there's a bit of judgment there from others sometimes. Like, because we need to protect our energy, we need to protect how we feel. And one of my favorite things to say when people are saying, I don't know what to do with my life, or I don't know what to do, I always say, joy is your compass. Like, if nothing else, like if it's giving you joy or it's lighting you up, just pull that thread, go in that direction. Like, that's always a good indication.
I love that. I say that all the time too.
Yeah.
Follow your joy. Follow what sparks and lights you up inside and makes you smile for no other reason than you're smiling or
Yeah.
time's gone. That's when you know, I think you're in real good alignment. Or, when time just, oh, where was that? I was really enjoying that moment. There's
Yeah.
no past or present. You're just absolutely in the present time.
And the people you're around as well, when you're feeling that joy and you're just feeling lit up, and like
Yeah.
I have the most amazing group of friends now. And I do feel like that when I'm with them. And there's been some times when we've all gone out for dinner and I've gone home. And even though, like, that's a lot for us as a reflector to go out with the big group, I am lying in bed with the biggest smile on my face and I can't sleep because I'm just so, like, lit up by all of the energy.
See, that's another thing that I kind of poo-poo on too. It's just, there's a lot of this throwing out there going, oh, well, reflectors shouldn't be in big groups or they'll get drained. And that's absolutely not true. I think it's a very individual thing because, for example, sometimes you might go to a shop or I might go to a shopping center and I am completely drained. I know I've got to get out of there quick, smart. But other times I might go somewhere and I'm like, oh, I can feel this is really helping me move through something that I'm needing, my body's needing to process. So I think that's beautiful that you have a group of friends who support you and you can come home and go, oh, I love them.
Yeah, totally. It's who you surround yourself with. Like, I completely resonate with the shopping center thing. That's an hour and I am done, like just drained. But it's like when you're around the right people or in really good environments, then you can actually piggyback off that energy and it can be really good for us.
Yeah, I'm like that with concerts. I get really agitated in concerts. Like, I love to go and listen to live music, but it's all of those people and all those energies. Whereas I've got other reflectors that I've spoken to. Mindy's a classic example. She's at a concert nearly every week, so she loves it.
Oh,
So it's the
wow.
way that her body processes it. So we're all different. We're all, but yes, we do have our own engine, I believe. I know, I don't know about you, but I've always sort of said when I need to get something done, whew, I can move quickly.
Oh, yeah. Faster than anybody. Like, I've had lots of different jobs in my life, classic, sampling everything. But one, I was an EA and an executive assistant for people who don't know what that is. But like, I was so efficient. And I think I had a full-time role, but I could probably get my work done in half the time. I had a lot of like free time in that role, just like getting stuff done. And yeah, just being also, I think that tapping into other people's energies as well. Like my boss would say, can you do this? And I'm like, I did it an hour ago. And he's just like, oh my God, okay, cool.
Your family dynamic, have you, as a part of this journey, delved into who you grew up with? So mum and dad, sisters, brothers. Have you had a look at that? What was your life like?
So my mum, from I don't know their birth time, but from what I when I did run their chart, my mum's a projector with very generator conditioning. My dad's a generator, which makes complete sense because my dad's just the life of the party, always telling jokes, all of that sort of stuff. My brother's a generator too, but he's quite introverted, so he'll have cycles where he's the life of the party and then cycles where he just wants to be alone and go inward. But my mum constantly, because she's got this generator conditioning, and she's just, both my parents, but particularly my mum, just a get on with it attitude. They had no time for my sensitivity, like just get on with it, don't be so sensitive, all of that stuff. But then my mum was always like, because she's a projector, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. And you'd say, can we do this? Or no, I can't be bothered. Yeah. Like it was just, yeah, she was just always, I always felt like she was always tired because she would push herself like a generator.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, be exhausted from that. But definitely a lot of that, like just get on with it kind of mentality. So I did struggle. And then that reflecting that, you know, my parents both grew up with a lot of trauma and then, you know, were projecting that. And then I was just reflecting that back, and like it was quite chaotic at times. And, you know, we feel everything so intensely. And then we're told, you know, you're so sensitive, or like, you know, get over it or stop being a sook. And I think also just, you know, that generation of parenting, that was kind of how they were taught too. So they just did what they were taught, like get on with it, all of that sort of thing. So, yeah, it was really interesting, like looking at that. And it does all make so much sense though.
Yeah, it does. My parents were very much the same, and they're a projector and a reflector. And but still to this day, they just go, I don't understand you. I don't understand why you've got to think as deeply as you do. But it's just their conditioning of just going, but I'm like, but I like to explore and I like to bury in. Don't try and change me.
Yeah.
And you have a partner now, like you live with somebody?
I don't live with my partner. I live with two friends. My housemates are a manager and a projector. My partner, though, he is a manifesting generator with an emotional authority.
Yeah.
And I love his energy, and we just, like, I can totally keep up with him. And, like, I do consider myself someone with a lot of energy, but then I'll often find that we'll have a whole day where we'll just go, 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 and then it just gets to 8:30 and I'm like, I'm exhausted. I'm going to go to bed now. And then he'll stay up till like 11 p.m. running around and doing all these things. And yeah, like I just sort of hit a wall all of a sudden, I find.
And you've got three completely open centers in your chart too. You've got, which you've got a completely open head center. Let me just pull
Oh, yeah.
Up. You've got, I know, every time I'm with you. It's like every time I go, completely open head center, it's like, yep, yes, I do. I think about random shit I don't need to all the time.
Yeah.
You've also got a completely open solar plexus. Oh, and you've got a completely open G center too.
Yeah.
I found over the last, especially this year, more reflectors that I'm speaking with, we all have these completely open G's and open heads. So you never know what kind of conversation we're going to have.
Yeah.
It's like it's someone once said to me, we're double reflectors.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, how do you deal with that? Like, you think to yourself, oh, it's a double reflect, look, double identity, because of no identity, nothing there at all, as well as being a reflector. It's like, ooh, haven't we got some stories to tell from our past? Which is why we chat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that you were saying that there before too, because that really echoes that you've done many things, you want to try many things, you have been many things, you still will continue to be many things.
Yeah, and just being open to the possibilities, like that element that when I was diving into human design and seeing the, you know, the signature of surprise and the not self thing of disappointment, I think they are such a beautiful complement to each other. Because when we are like disappointed, we're not in self, but it's like, well, don't be, because the universe has something so much better in store for you. And when I've really lived by that and been just being open to all the surprises that life has to offer, like that's when life gets really juicy and really magical, you know, just going, okay, well, what's next for us? Because, you know, like if we think, and I say this to everybody, like you think about the worst thing that ever happened to you was actually probably the best thing that ever happened to you. Like it was just a redirect, and it's like just being open. I think that's such a gift that we have as reflectors, is we're so adaptive. And I've even heard, I think it was on your podcast, I might have heard someone speaking about, given that like we can grow up in toxic environments where we're reflecting back and we end up with a lot of trauma, but we don't become our trauma. Our trauma doesn't become us, because although we're absorbing, we're also, we can let things go, which is just such a gift.
I truly believe that. I think that we have, if not the most resilient, and I say that word very air quotey because sometimes it doesn't get across what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But it's like of all the shit that can get thrown at us, it doesn't stick. It's our mind that makes it stick. But a lot of the time, once we start healing or, you know, journeying through, we can kind of like drop it like a pen and it's gone. It's just like a literal Teflon. The shit doesn't stick. And it's like, it's fascinating to observe when you can get out of your head and just drop it and it's gone. It's like, oh, okay. But it's the story we tell ourselves. So that's a conditioned aspect. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's such a gift, though. Like, I think there's so many great things about being a reflector.
Yeah. The invisibility, though. Have you noticed that in your life? Like, that's often the most challenging is people can sometimes, I don't know if this has happened to you, you can be going around the room and they will skip you. Have you ever had something like that happen?
Definitely. I also have like some kind of wounding around, like people don't want me around. Like I have this anxiety that sometimes when people invite me places, like they're just kind of being kind, which I'm working on that. And I'm doing a plant medicine journey in 2 weeks and I'm going to work through that. But definitely that skipping you, or you go somewhere and you meet someone and they're like, oh, nice to meet. And I'm like, I've met you before. And they're like, they have no recollection. Or in the street, people bump into you and they're like, oh, I didn't see you there. Like that often happens. But I think, yeah, like that people just, they skip over you, or they don't see you, or they sometimes won't include you in the conversation, or like they'll say, oh, you're so quiet, I didn't even know that you were there, that kind of thing. But like learning that about, like, because we've got those open energy centers, people can't necessarily like feel us. But at the same time, I do like it in ways where I can just sit back and observe, and like that's kind of our role sometimes, is just to sit back and observe and just sample into everything and feel it. And you know, then we can, like, if it's more about, I guess, that, you know, when people ask for our reflections and they ask for what we think, like that's, you feel so seen. And when we're in groups or in spaces where we are asked for our opinion, like, and people actually want to hear it, that they're prepared to, like, often people, you probably experience this, I know a lot of other reflectors say this, that we've always kind of, our whole lives, people come to us for advice. But then sometimes they don't want to hear our advice because we can be, you know, the truth tellers.
Yeah.
And sometimes people aren't ready to hear that. So that's been also a dance of, you know, feeling into their energy, like, are they ready to hear it? And also, I've had to, in my life, when I was a lot younger, I was incredibly blunt. Some people would still describe me as that, but being able to, A, say things a little bit more diplomatically, B, feel into their energy and see where they're at, and C, although I could tell them, I've learnt to ask them questions first. And that's been, I mean, you know, having that path, becoming a coach as well, like that's what our role is to empower people, which I love, but asking them the questions. And sometimes I won't even say anything. I'll just ask them a few questions and they'll find the answer on their own. And then they're just like, thanks so much. And I'm like, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, just being that mirror for them, which is really cool.
I have found it very similar. Like in my younger years, I've got a fifth line, so I constantly, still to this day, meet that challenge of going, okay, you got a problem, I'll fix it. You know, it's very much like, oh, there's a problem, I'll fix it.
Yes.
And I've even had to say to my family, like, just give me something to work with, because I'm not just going to sit here and do nothing. I need to be active and need to be involved in this. Otherwise, I'll go and do something else. But I have found that just waiting and observing and learning to lean into that. Again, his time, he's our time is our friend, and feeling into people's energy and not just jumping in and going, I know everything about you, I'm going to go straight in there and tell you everything. Blah, 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 blah. And then they go, what the fuck?
Oh, yes. And I so resonate with that rescuer piece. And I feel like that's, for me, part of the conditioning. It's like also, I mean, I understand the fifth line for sure, but also I feel that I've been that rescuer or fixer, and then to learn to not do that because they need to sit in whatever they need to sit in. But also, before I couldn't tolerate them sitting there suffering because I could feel, especially if it's someone I care about, I could feel their energy, I can feel their suffering. And that was too much for me to hold. But to be able to teach myself to just let that go and let them sit in whatever they need to sit in, because I'm not empowering them by trying to run in and rescue, but just going, this is their journey and they need to, walk through their journey.
Absolutely, I agree 1000%. And may I ask, how do you process that? I mean, we're both therapists, so there's a lot of, especially the work that you do, you know, there can it can be quite, can I say this lovingly, it can be feel quite heavy.
Totally.
And even in the one of the Facebook groups for reflectors, I think it was last week, they were talking about how do we not get emotional, how do we not get sensitive about something. How do you process that? Do you have a strategy when you're in coaching with someone?
I find if I'm having to, so just as an example, when I've done plant medicine journeys facilitated, they're quite a lot of energy going on. And this isn't specific to that, but I find I need to get it out in nature. I mean, I can do it daily, but a proper, like a hike or something once a week, like going to a waterfall or even just, I live right near the beach, even just going and getting in the ocean, like that is medicine for me. And I only really truly discovered that last year where I was consistent with it. And it was almost life-changing for me to know that and to give that to myself every week and make sure that I am doing that. Because you can get out into nature, and I literally feel my cells just let go of whatever it is I'm carrying, no matter how intense it is. Having my own personal boundaries and just knowing that, like, whatever someone's moving through, and it's just, I guess, all the work that I've done on myself, and knowing that that is their journey, and like they need to go through that and they need to process that. And all we can do is just guide them and empower them. So, well, the work that I do, like I obviously the plant medicine, but also internal family systems, the way that that therapy works is it is empowering that person. I'm just guiding them. It's not like traditional therapy. It's kind of like, if I could describe it, that person's almost in a meditation, but I'm asking them questions, but they're going back into a memory, and them themselves, their adult selves in the healing part of it is got, say, if it's like a wounding of like something that happened when you were 4 or 5 years old, for example, and you were at school and maybe you spoke up in a crowd and then you were laughed at. So then you've got this fear of public speaking and it's playing out in every area of your life. Even when you go out for dinner with friends, you can't even speak up because there's this part of you that's protecting you. But we, in that therapy, as our adult self today, I say to my client, like, okay, you've like found this memory. Now I want you to go in as your adult self. Sit with your 5-year-old self. Like, how are they feeling? What do they need? They need a hug. And like that 5-year-old is still stuck in that time and place. But they're able to, as an adult self, go back into that memory and comfort their 5-year-old self, give them what they need, tell them what they needed to hear, soothe them, validate them. Then I ask them, once that 5-year-old self knows that you're their safe person now, like, ask them, do they want to come and live in the present with you? And once we've spent enough time with that younger self, they feel that you're a safe person and we can take them out of that time and place. And then we do this thing called unburdening, which is my absolute favorite. So say, for example, like that was the wound, but like you spoke up in a crowd and now you've lost your voice. You can't even find your voice. You can't speak in front of people. You might mumble, you might put your head down, you just feel so out of touch with that or not confident. So that you ask your 5-year-old self, what did that make you believe about yourself? And they'll say, it made me believe that what I say doesn't matter or I don't matter. And I'm like, wow, like that's a really big burden. And your 5-year-old self is still carrying that. We're going to unburden you now. How would they like to unburden in earth, air, fire, or water? And like your parts actually talk to you. Like they'll say, I want to unburden in fire. I'll say, okay, great. Take your 5-year-old self to somewhere in nature you'd like to go, build them a fire. And now when you're ready, let your 5-year-old self throw that burden into the fire. They don't have to carry that anymore. and you watch their face. They generally have their eyes closed because it is quite experiential, and often they'll cry, but you'll see their whole face soften, their shoulders drop. It's like that thing they've been carrying for 30 years. They've let it go, and it's like it's so healing, but they get to do that themselves, like as an adult self today. So whenever a traumatic memory comes up or anything, like once they start to do parts work or internal family systems therapy enough, they can actually on a daily basis work with their parts and work with those memories. And it's so empowering. It's like such an amazing tool to take through their lives, which that's why I love it. Like I resisted. I know this is what I was meant to do, and it's kind of life's kept leading me back, and I finally, of course, I've just turned 40 last year, and it's like now I'm here. But it's like I found, well, these types of therapy where it's like people get to take their power back, which is such a belief for me because it's been, well, part of my own journey as well, which we can talk about too, my mental health journey too. But
Yeah.
that taking your power back, and that we have everything within us, we have all the resources within us to heal
Yep.
and to grow and expand and evolve. We don't need to
Absolutely.
outsource our power.
No. I love that so much because I think, again, we're all often in on the same wavelength. We're all often on the same wavelength. It's quite fascinating when you get us all together and there's a very similarity and we're just kind of all expressing in different ways. It's like we're mycelium. We're just like little mushrooms everywhere. But it is about that. It's just like a lot of the therapies, and you would have done them too, because I know I have pretty much nearly done everything. But the ones that I'm not in control of, that's the wrong word, but the ones where it's about me taking myself there, they're the ones that have landed the most. Even human design, it's still a matter of me, like wading through it and understanding me. They're the ones that land. But if you don't mind sharing, let us go back because this is fascinating. How did you get into this? Where's this journey that's led you to here?
Well, I think, I started doing therapy when I was maybe 21, just traditional like CBT therapy. And then I've been on, I guess, a journey of personal development and even like, God bless him. But I think I had a boss when I was 16. He was quite into personal development and he was quite spiritual. And for my 16th birthday, I think he bought me The Power of Now. And I tell people I've read that book at 16. They're like, 16? I'm like, yeah. And he used to always buy me books. And I just really loved like reading all of these things and how it made me feel. And I guess without even knowing, it's like whatever felt good to me, I would follow that thread. And then just doing lots of personal development. I'd also had like, I guess you could call it a food addiction. I believe addiction is all, no matter what it is to do with unresolved trauma. And I joined a group in 2019, which was for food addiction, but it was all online and it was like based on the principles of Overeaters Anonymous, but not like you didn't go to meetings or anything, but like you would just have a food plan that you would eat every day. So I did that. I lost some weight, but it didn't actually like help anything. I still had no, because I was just so not regulated and I wasn't in my body, I was in my head. I didn't have any hunger or fullness cues. So I just couldn't possibly know or have any intuition around food. And then I continued with that group for like until like 2021. And then they offered this course like to teach internal family systems, but with, I guess, the flavor of like food addiction. So we'd work with certain parts that were like, parts that binged or parts that were restricted or, all those sorts of things. So I learned it there. I continued to use it in my everyday life, but also I joined a little mastermind with two of the ladies that I learnt on the course with. And we practiced every week. So every week we'd have a Zoom call and we would just do this therapy, like not just for around food, but around lots of things. Then in June 2022, I did my first plant medicine journey. And it was not my intention at all around food or any of those issues I had. But suddenly I came out of that journey and I just had a completely different relationship to my body. I suddenly could gauge my hunger and fullness cues. And it just healed so much of my relationship to food and a lot of my, trauma around, I guess, the feminine.
What did
So
you do?
like
Was it
it was
sewing?
MDMA, that
Yeah.
journey.
Yep.
And like I had a quite a strained relationship with my mum growing up. So my intention going was just to forgive my mum, but it was so amazing. It was like in that journey I forgave my mum, but then I had this movie play in my mind of every single negative or perceived negative interaction I've ever had with any other female. Like even memories come of my grade two art teacher yelling at me once. And I just in this journey was like, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. And then it went the other way and I could see like just all the times I was showing up and judging other women or comparing myself. And I just said to them, like, I'm sorry, like, and I love you and I send you healing energy. And like I could see all these women all around the world and this analogy, they were all carrying suitcases. And I just said to them, like, I send you all like love and healing energy and you don't have to carry your pain anymore, like these suitcases. It was just incredible. And then it was like this healing of myself, like saying to myself, I'm so sorry for every time I've ever said anything mean about my own body. I'm so sorry for everything every time I said yes and I wanted to say no, like just for everything. And it was so healing around myself, my femininity, my body, my relationship to food, like, and even just coming out of that and watching, I mean, I've made so many new friends since, but watching my existing female friendships deepen in the most beautiful way, because I could meet myself there. So it just like opened up so much for me.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really feel the need to kind of be in that group anymore. But I continued to practice the parts work. And then, I mean, I did it for like, well, since August 2021 was when I started. And then I decided that that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I studied like my first level of training. I'm going to do my second level of training in. It's like over March, April, and May this year.
Wow.
But that's kind of how it started. But I can, I guess, given my background, like I definitely could work with people that have, you know, maybe some struggles with food or, you know, binging, emotional eating, all of that sort of thing. But I mean, it can help with like anything that you're triggered by, really. Like it's, but it allows you to have that, you know, it's quite empowered.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That actually really got me in the feels. Beautiful. And so true. And I had heard of this system before. And I didn't know. Oh no, it was family constellations. It's part of me. It's kind of not similar, but I've heard of this work, and I know when you and I were emailing back and forth, I was like, I'm really intrigued by this because as a part of one of the other modalities that I benefited from so much from my birth trauma was rebirthing breath work, you know, of taking that journey back into oneself, not just breathing for the sake of breathing, but allowing it to go back into a lot of that preverbal and prenatal. So I'm really interested in this, what you're doing, because I think that there's just so much validity in it of how much we need to go back and heal those parts of ourselves.
Yeah, and that's what they are. Like we can have, well, in internal family systems, they're called protector parts, but we might have parts of ourselves that maybe self-sabotage. They're doing things. We have these internal conflicts. Like, why am I doing this? I know this doesn't serve me, but I can't seem to kind of break the cycle. But it's just a part of you. And even just that concept is kind of radical. Like, just having a bit more compassion that that's just a part of you. It's not all of you. And often we might have a part of us that's acting that way. And then we have another part, which they cause like a polarization. That other part's shaming us.
Yeah.
And the whole concept is like, we have like a self, and like we know we're in self when we're like calm, centered, connected, creative, confident. We have courage. Like there's this thing called the eight C's, and that's how you know you're in self. We all have access to self or self energy. And if we're not in self, so if you're operating from like a trigger or whatever, or just in a certain way, then that's a part, and you can work with that part. And that part, no matter how much that part might feel like it's being destructive, all our parts have good intentions. Like they're protectors, and they are there because they're trying to protect you and stop you from feeling a feeling you may have felt in the past or experiencing another situation again. Like they all have good intentions. And once we can go into those, we can learn about them, develop relationships with them. That's why it's called internal family systems, is because our parts kind of work like a family. And sometimes that's healthy, and sometimes it can be a little unhealthy. But we develop more trusting relationships with them, so we can work with them from self energy because that's when we can work them. They won't communicate with us generally unless we're in self energy. And then we can like develop those relationships and go in and heal those parts. And also, those protective parts have been doing their roles for so long, we can give them a new role. And once we've healed the what we call the exile underneath, but it's often that inner child part that that protector is protecting, you can give them a new role. And like they might, you ask them, what would you like your new role to be? And they might say, I want my new role to be fun. And then they're in charge of making sure you're having fun and, you're remembering those parts of yourself. And like, it's a much more healthy, integrated role too.
What a beautiful tool modality for just the one life, but also deconditioning journey. I can just see
Totally.
it's one of these moments when we find this out, just using human design as an example or any modality, something that hits you and just goes, what is this? Who am I? I'm starting to see now more about me. But it's always the journey back to oneself. And I just love all of these tools and modalities that can help us reconnect us back to who we truly are outside of all of the other shit, outside of all of the everybody else's opinion, because a lot of those parts, I'm assuming it's the same as like whose voice is that speaking to you? Sometimes it's not even us, it's mom or dad telling us stuff, and there's this part of us that believes that. Oh,
Yeah, and
that's deep.
repeating things. It's like, some of us, maybe our parents didn't speak to us as kind as what we would have liked. And like, we all have the part of an inner critic. Like, we all have that part. And sometimes that voice is repeating that. For me, it was repeating the same things my parents would say to me. And it was like, I was literally just rehashing it out every day. And it's like, until I could kind of go in and heal that part and work with it. And then it wasn't until then, like, we can cognitively say, I'm going to speak kindly to myself. I'm going to put a post-it on my mirror, like, to say, I love myself or whatever. But it's like, until we go in and do the inner work, we can't quite break those patterns or those cycles until we go in and work with those parts of ourselves. And
Absolutely. And it's a big thing for, I mean, open centers in general, but reflectors. It's always the first questions you can kind of ask yourself in meeting yourself as a reflector is, oh my gosh, who am I because I've been conditioned by my past? Every single one of us has got so much more conditioning of who we were around, what religion or whatever was around us has truly conditioned us to who we are. So it's always good to sort of like strip away those layers as best we can. You were saying there, and I want to touch on this because obviously I'm in this day and age, it seems to be that plant medicine is the way that we are busting through a lot of the crap, we're busting through a lot of this rigidity and blocks that we've all had as humankind. I believe that plant medicine was always back in the day, and that's how we kind of evolved. But then the powers that be have kind of shut us down and or made it illegal, I know for years I didn't think that I could ever do plant medicine here in Australia because it was so illegal. It was so hard to find anything. I thought I would have had to get on a plane and go to Peru or, South America. And then I realized, oh no. Oh no, you can. So and that was that the door burst open. So was that your experiment too when you started to get into this of just going, I want to try this, I need to feel it from just what other people had been saying?
Yeah, I guess I've just always been interested in healing and, yeah, doing the work. And I was in a group coaching container for like 18 months, and my coach was very much like, he had used plant medicine and he had seen firsthand, and not just from him but clients as well. And so then that's how I was kind of introduced to it. And then I was able to do my first journey in I did my first journey in a group, and I've done quite a few group journeys, and I've quite liked them. I've known other reflectors to do group journeys, and they haven't necessarily liked them because they are tapping into the energies of everyone in the room. But I seem to kind of, ride the wave, and have always had, knock on wood, good experiences. But having said that, a lot of, I think, my good experiences, particularly with psilocybin, which can be a bit gnarly, I wouldn't have had the good experiences I've had had I not have done all the work I do on myself. And even when people come to me because they've heard about me or what I do, and they're like, I want to do plant medicine, and I'm like, I won't work with you unless I've worked with you with like the internal family systems or in my coaching first, because that's just so irresponsible of me to just say, yes, I'm going to work with you. Like, I want to know where you're at. Like, as well, I know that if I can do some work with, say, IFS, that's going to better prepare them. They're going to have a better journey. They're going to get so much more out of it. They're going to be able to navigate it much better. Their integration is going to be much better. And I find that they're such a beautiful complement to each other, particularly with psilocybin. But whenever you do a journey with everybody, no matter how many you've done, there's a part of you that's nervous, and that's completely understandable. Like, I don't know what this is going to bring up, like what's going to come out. But Richard Swartz, who's the psychologist that invented internal family systems, I was watching a webinar, which I only learned this in the last few months. He actually has done loads of work with psychedelics, and he says that the only reason why people have bad trips is because they haven't got proper permission from a protector part first. And so I've even been able to go into like retreat spaces and that were doing these kinds of journeys and take everyone through a meditation the night before in like with internal family systems principles. And we get permission from that protector part, and I like guide them through to go in and heal that part of themselves. And they've even said that was really good. But then after the journey, they've said that was actually so good because there were moments during the journey where I kind of got scared, or I thought, oh my gosh, like this. And then they're like, it's okay. Like, my part's here, and they can talk to their part in the journey. And yeah, like they can just navigate it with so much more confidence.
Yeah.
And it's not scary. And then, you know, they have a good experience as well.
I absolutely, hand on heart, love that. Because there is a lot of cowboys out there, and there's a lot of, and just you saying that, I'm like, wow, that is beautiful. Beautiful to just, here's the boundary of going, no, I want you to do this, and I want you to do it properly so that you're not meeting all this resistance. Because I have found in my journeys going in blind that they have been quite challenging, because you are confronted with something that you're not prepared to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And then often there's the post integration phase that nobody supports you through. So you can, even if you have a wonderful journey, the post part of that journey is like, well, oh, shit, how do I integrate this now? It's a huge thing, the lack of integration afterwards, I think, in a lot of these spaces. So
the preparation and integration is equally as important, if not more important, than the journey, and also the set and setting. Like, some people, I've heard of people, not that I've done ayahuasca, but I've heard of people that rock up to an ayahuasca ceremony. There's 50 people there. There's no prep. There's no integration. They just go in. They have no idea what to expect. They can sometimes rock up by themselves. They don't know anyone. Like, I've only done journeys with people that I trust implicitly. I've worked with the same people over and over again, and then been around people who I trust, and like, even the people that are running like these very small group journeys, like there's no just bringing anyone in. They know each person. They've worked with them for a long time. Like, it's all very responsible and very, like, you have to do your due diligence with this stuff. You can't be reckless. Like, it's important work, I believe, but also like that prep and integration and that feeling of safety that people need. Like, they are entrusting you to facilitate them through this, and this is such a huge deal, like, for them to actually embark on. And it's so courageous to embark on a journey like that.
Yeah.
Like, they need that support, or they need to, as at the same time, you're not there to save them. And like, that's the thing I always say to people, like, this is your journey, and like, I'm just here to guide you, but like, you are your own healer. And I even get really, I have an ick about the word healer sometimes, because when someone calls themselves, they say, oh, my healer, I'm like, no, you're your own healer.
Yeah.
Like, you are the medicine. You have the medicine within you.
Yeah.
It's like empowering people and knowing that they have the power within them to heal, but you're just guiding them, or, providing a tool, whether it's IFS, whether it's plant medicine, whether it's breath work, like whatever it be. Like, that's just like, that's my role. It's like, I'm just here to guide. I'm not here to, like,
Yeah, I love that. I get funny with the word healer too. I really like the word facilitator or co-traveler or, co-creating. It's just like you're not even holding the space sometimes, even though those words get bandied around a lot. You're just there to support. and facilitate and, you know, help another, hold another soul's hand as they journey through this thing called life.
And there's something to
Absolutely.
be said, like when I did my facilitator training for plant medicine, like the lady that trained me, I just loved her ethos. But she was, I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Sharon Stanley, but she's obviously a plant medicine facilitator, but she couples her work with the work of Sharon Stanley, which is a lot of somatic healing. And Sharon Stanley is very much about us returning to like that, well, that innate wisdom within our bodies, that ancient wisdom. And she couples, like, I guess the way we think, like Western kind of thought, with like Indigenous knowing. And Sharon Stanley's gone and lived in Indigenous communities in like other countries. And that whole, and I think we don't get it sometimes in our culture, we're so individualistic, but that, you know, Indigenous cultures, they would, if they, someone had a trauma, they would sit in circle and talk about it. And it's like, for you to facilitate, you're just holding someone's hand while they move through something, but it's so they're not alone. And like, that's this book that I read of Sharon Stanley's, like, really hit home for me. Like, we can't heal relational trauma, which a lot of our trauma is relational, by ourselves. We have to heal it in safe relationships. We have to be witnessed in it. We have to be like, you know, have someone safe there that we can just hold their hand while they journey through and do the healing themselves. But like, that is so powerful.
I love that because that's a huge thing as somebody who's facilitated a lot of women's circles, but they even themselves can get a little bit, how can I say this correctly? I find that they can be a bit of a wank for a lot of things. It's just like, well, come and sit in circle together, but it's again individualistic. And as soon as there's a circle that really goes a little bit deep, a lot of other people feel really uncomfortable because they haven't been a part of this, or they don't know how to process somebody else going through something. You know, have you found that? You probably have, but that's what I found. I'm like, oh, I can't be superficial here anymore in this space. If we're going to sit in circle, we're going to understand that this is a safe space and there are things that each of you possibly haven't gone through. But by coming together and sharing those experiences, we can learn. It's like people just don't know how to deal with death. They fear death. They don't know how to deal with death. They don't want to talk about death. And it's like, this is a part of life. I'm sorry, friends, you're gonna die.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely have seen that. And like, I mean, to speak to the plant medicine journeys, like I won't work with people who I haven't worked with before. But also, if I was running a very small group journey, and I only work with women in this capacity, I won't work with men. And that's like nothing against men. It just seems that I keep attracting it, but I keep getting these messages that like, this is what you're here to do. And funnily enough, I just before Christmas went and saw a psychic, and she said to me, any imposter syndrome you have, like, just stop. She said, you've done this before. She said, in a past life, I was a midwife. And she said, I wasn't just about delivering babies. I was about like helping women and their wellness. And yeah, like if I did do a circle, I would certainly be very selective about who I put in that circle. Like, and I would only put people in a circle if they had done a lot of work on themselves first and they were all kind of on a similar plane so they could hold each other if there was some sharing maybe before or after. And if someone hadn't done so much work or they had a lot more trauma, I probably wouldn't work with them. I'd just say I would need to work with you, obviously, prior, like in, say, the therapy space, but also I want to do it just a one-on-one with them because those people are generally going to need much more support.
And I love that you were saying there, just taking you back a bit to working with reflectors, because that's come up a fair bit as well, where they can take on, well, I know I have experienced this myself, where I could not journey. I was so mindful of what was happening with other people, and I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be, but it was like, oh my gosh, I knew exactly what was happening for every single person. And no matter how I tried, I even, this was with ayahuasca, had addition, like a second cup to see if I could just go in myself. No, it was like I was on the periphery, just observing. And I've
Yeah.
gone through that. This was many years ago now. And I think that's a trauma response of mine to just go, I don't feel safe. There's no way. So it was a control thing. But the second night, what happened is we were able to go outside because the weather was good and it was perfect.
Yeah.
So I could just go. And I also set the intention. I'm like, I don't want that anymore. I don't want to be. Can I please have, I journey. We journey together, but I journey.
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't want to be sort of trying to fix everyone. It was fascinating.
And that going outside for you as well, like, because we can dispel that energy into nature.
Yeah.
And another thing my facilitator would say, which I just adore, and I use it in my parts work now, but like she says, and this is like this kind of, I guess, that connection to the earth and that indigenous knowing that she teaches, but it's like that everything that is coming up for you, or if it's getting too much, and I've used it with my clients, like breathe it out and breathe it down into the earth, like the earth can take it for you. And if it's coming up, you're feeling that heat in your body and it's like coming up and it's so intense, or you're feeling just so overwhelmed, just breathe it out down to the earth. The earth's literally been carrying us for 70 billion years. It can take it,
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know? And
yeah.
it's like knowing that that's there to support you anytime you need it.
Yeah. I love that. We don't give just being in nature, touching a tree, just asking for assistance. We don't give it enough credit. It's just so the ocean help. I'm a water person as well. I go, that's my first thing, bath, anything, even if it's a hose, it's I love that. Sorry, I just had to draw a little thing there while you were speaking because it's like you've got little angel wings coming out the side. Do you have that? Do you have the side as well? Do you have like the, obviously we know stuff, we feel it, but with that open head, do you have a lot of visions?
I don't have visions as like I can very strongly visualize. And I mean, like I've done lots of careers, as I said, one of them was an interior designer. And before I was a designer, I thought everybody could visualize,
Yeah.
but they can't apparently. But I just have a knowing, like whenever there's this just a, like just I could make a judgment. And I've often struggled with this as well. Like, you know, you make judgments or you feel into someone's energy, and you're like, I don't feel comfortable around that person. And everyone's like, oh, Megan, but they're so nice. Like, they're lovely. And I've gone, I just don't feel comfortable. And then a year later, this person's done something and they're like, I can't believe they did that. And I'm just like, I'm gonna say I told you so. But it's like that too, just being able to trust my intuition. But not necessarily having to share that and just going, I'm just going to remove myself here. Like, I'm just going to step away. This doesn't feel good to me. And that's okay. Like, if that feels good to others, that's okay too. But it's like, just, it's just for me, a knowing. And obviously, like, it's not like, you know, we have that gut response, like, say, a generator or,
I
but it's
think we
just like
have that though. I get gut
just
pings.
a knowing,
Oh, yeah.
like,
It's
just a
sometimes
deep
it's a,
knowing.
and sometimes it's a physical reaction that I have. It's like, oof, But in the past, and here's our younger selves, we probably would have stayed in those situations, or we would have stayed in environments, or been friends with those people who just weren't feeling good, and we would have just blocked it out.
Yeah, I would tell myself, like, oh, stop judging, because that's what I would hear. Stop being so judgmental. And I would ignore red flags or ignore my feelings or ignore my knowing. And then I just learned, like, every single time I ignore that knowing, that intuition. That's when I get myself into trouble. Like, you just have to trust it and go with it. And if people are annoyed or pissed off that you can't give them the explanation, well, you know, you just have to be like okay to stand in your truth and just go, this is my truth. Like, this doesn't feel good to me. And be
Beautiful.
okay with people being upset with you know? Like, we're not responsible for everyone's feelings.
No. I've loved this chat. Can you share how people can work with you, where they can find you?
Yep, sure.
Because this is phenomenal work you're doing. You're a true gift to the world, Angel.
Thanks, honey. As are you. My website is just coachmegs.com.au, and or you can find me on Instagram, which is where I hang out most of the time, which is Mental Health Coach Megs.
But is there anything else that you'd like to share about your journey? Any parting wisdom for your fellow reflectors?
I think that, the being the ruthless curator of your life is like the best advice, I think, for reflectors to really just know that, like, it's okay to be that ruthless curator, like, you're not a bad person. But I was thinking about the deconditioning stuff before because I feel like that is kind of where our work is in the world. But one thing that has helped me immensely is knowing my own values. And it's like, I think I was originally introduced to Dr. John DeMartini. He's got like a values determinator on his website. You can just do a quiz and go through the process. But knowing my values and then making those decisions accordingly, like, one thing that I don't do is I don't drink, because that just doesn't feel good in my body and that doesn't feel good for me. But living in Australia, we have like such a, it's so embedded in our culture. But because I know that health is one of my number one values, I'm totally okay with saying no. And if people judge me for it or get upset with it, I don't, it's like water off a duck's back. But it's like knowing your values is such a good compass when we've got all the noise going. It's like, well, I know these are my values. And generally, you'll be happier when you're just living in alignment with your own values, not someone else's. And then also that helps in your relationships, I feel, because you're not then projecting your values, and you can see, oh, they're just doing that because that's what they value. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean that, anything really. I think that's probably the most helpful thing I could share.
And I love that. I'll drop a link to that because it is important. There's a quote that came to mind when you said that, something about what you're not changing, you're choosing. Interesting. Because a lot of times we do, I don't drink either. It's a lot of times that, it's like, well, why? Why do we do that to ourselves? Why are we punishing ourselves in a way? Because we are self-sabotaging. But anyway, that's a, oh my God, we could sit here and just chat about personal development all day. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Totally.
Thank you so much for sitting in space with me. Thank you so much for sharing your journey. I want to have more chats with you, so,
Yes.
and I want to explore this system with you. So yeah, I'll be coming down.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for having me on.